You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder and chief automating officer of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business marketing automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And in this episode, what I want to do is look at one of the most undervalued systems of the Significant Six. Okay, this system, it hasn't always been on my radar. I'll have to admit, I'll be the first to admit, in fact. But I've been witnessing so many entrepreneurs of all walks starting to devalue this system for the sake of increased leads and sales. And I just want to raise a flag of caution before this gets out of hand. Okay, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Do me a favor, listen to this episode in its entirety on the back end when we finished up. Make sure that you subscribe and leave a 5-star rating and review. For those of you who are listeners and not yet subscribers, please do so. Let's stop the dating game. Let's just make this official. Okay. Subscribe to the podcast, become an official listener where you'll get notifications every Thursday, because that's when we release new episodes. And you can subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. And remember, if you have not yet, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It will be greatly appreciated and gratefully helpful for Apple to understand just how important it is to feature this podcast, so more small business owners can come into the light of knowledge and tutelage and training and expertise that you all have and that you all have now and have done. All right. So let me just say this. If you want to increase sales, you must increase your capacity to deliver. They work hand in hand. And as selling, as it becomes less of a mystery online, and here's an asterisk here, because this is for some, because there are still a lot of people who are just confused and overwhelmed with selling online specifically. But as it becomes more standard for small businesses, it's easy to treat it as the finish line, right? I mean, in fact, the mistake I see most people make is their customer journey ends at the sale. Let's just venture out into what common marketers are teaching right now. When you hear the word sales funnel, it literally ends with the sale. Okay. Very rarely do you hear someone talk about a sales funnel beyond the sale. Right. Then it starts when you start to talk beyond the initial sale, you start to hear the term customer journey or, you know, things of that nature. But traditionally, lazy and common marketing teaches you that the goal post is the sale. Right. And it's wrong. It really is. And again, my hand is up as the first to admit. When I started out in my marketing career, the end game was the sale, more sales, scale with sales, right? But it's wrong because how someone receives their product is just as important as the product that they buy. Okay. They're not separate experiences. They're just different phases of the same process, right? And it's why I want to propose to you to stop looking at your product separately from the delivery of it. They're one and the same. It's almost like a person having a brain and a heart. Yes, they're separate entities, but they have to be thought of inclusively for you to live. And that's how your business has to be looked at. If one fails, it all fails. Okay, these are intricately connected. And we have to stop looking at them as separate. Doing so, and when you look at them as separate, they're just, oh, okay, sales here. Okay, well, we'll figure out how to get it to them. Just sell, right? It does your customers a great disservice, as well as your own customer journey. And this is why I call the delivery system the most undervalued system of the Significant Six. You know, recall in the previous podcast with the Significant Six, it's traffic. These are the six systems: traffic, capture, delivery. Capture, traffic, capture. I can do this. Present, offer, deliver, and then follow up is through. It's throughout all of them. It changes as you go through each one, right? Well, delivery is the system that is most undervalued that we're talking about, but perhaps it's the most important. Perhaps it's the most difficult to figure out and execute consistently. And perhaps for too long, the focus has been on just sales and marketing. And when I say this, I by no means mean to minimize, you know, sales and marketing. I just want to increase the awareness and focus of delivery. And as with many things, as they should be, is increasing the light, right? Or the focus on one does not inherently mean diminishing the other. Okay. In fact, I just want to bring it up to the same level, at least, as sales and marketing. And there's a reason and a couple experiences that bring this to the forefront for me, fueled by a lot of questions I receive when I'm speaking, teaching, educating, training, and then just overall observations I've made online. All right. So that's the backdrop to this thing. There's a reason and a couple experiences that really drove me to say, you know what, I've got to get this in the queue for the podcast. And the main reason for my awareness being elevated is enrolling and participating in high ticket programs. These are mainly leadership. Actually, all of them are leadership programs that provide a great experience post-purchase, right? Like you can tell things are well thought out, not just built on the fly. Because by now, I think if you're paying attention close enough, you can feel when something is being built on the fly, when people are figuring it out as they go along. And it's okay to have some element of that, but there, it's also necessary to understand that people need things in place. Like they need to know that you have a plan, like this thing has been well thought out. So while you're, you know, shooting first and aiming later, and while you're setting sail and building the ship on the way, just remember that you have to have some level of preparation and completeness done beforehand. Okay. And it looks different for everybody. But when I go through these programs, it's just so consistent. You could tell things are thought out. The themes, they tie in. The activities are consistent. The flow is conducive to understanding. It's just a different feel. You can always tell a polished and a mature offer than one that's being built for the first time, right? And since it's something that I admire, it forced me to focus more on the post-purchase experience in my business. And in doing so, I believe it's time well spent, as I've seen immediate positive impacts of doing such. But I think that it is a strong belief of mine now that it's time well spent focusing on the delivery of your product, from the timing of emails to the content within them, you know, where I place certain items, when I place those items in front of people, when I highlight them, when I instruct them to go here, because there's so much, like you're familiar with your stuff. So you forget how overwhelming and confusing it could be for somebody new coming in. But, you know, you're so far removed from version one of this thing, some of you, that it's like, oh yeah, you have to be reminded, go here to update your billing, go here to update your profile. Oh, for the most important content to start out with, go here, right? So for me, that's been my focus, right? How do I put things in front of, how do I do the timing and content balance to where it's not overwhelming, but it's very effective with instructing? How do I determine the most important items to repeat? Because some things you're going to have to say a few times for people to get it. How do I gauge understanding and facilitate engagement, etc.? These are all post-purchase considerations that I now am consumed with in a good way, right? And I'll say, I was unbalanced starting out. I mentioned this at the top. I was focused on marketing and sales and like most of you now. And I just wanted to make the sale and hoped I could keep it, right? Hope the product was good enough that they wouldn't request a refund. And there's something to be said for that. And in fact, I believe that's a good start for any business. But as soon as you start getting sales and you say, hey, wait a minute, I think I have something, you have to start focusing on delivery. Okay, because again, if you want to increase your sales, you have to increase your capacity. Because if you're selling what you can't fulfill, it's all gonna fall. Right? It's just a matter of time. If you're like, look, we're selling and not fulfilling and we're doing fine, that's because you're not aware that what you're doing has an expiration date. And you don't know when that date is, but it's coming. Right? So now, since focusing on delivery in the magnitude that I have, or aka the post-customer journey, I'm confident I can not only make the sale, I'm even more confident that they'll stay and pay again, because I believe in the experience. Okay. Now, speaking of experiences, I said there's one reason and a couple experiences that bring this to the forefront. So that was my reasoning right there. You all just heard my reasoning and really focusing on delivery. And now I want to mention a couple experiences. The first being one with a startup that shall remain nameless out of respect. Okay. But when I was working with this startup, we were able to pre-sell over $1 million in a product that had never been created. Mastermind marketing behind it, created the vision, the launch sequence, built up anticipation. People were ready. They were ready to go. And you have this successful launch. And then when it comes time to deliver, and for this particular product, the delivery vehicle wasn't wrong. It was just the product itself, as promised, was hard to fit in the delivery vehicle, right? So it doesn't matter. So understand this. To the customer, it doesn't matter what threw delivery off, whether they're like, oh, I understand, or not. If the delivery of it is off, it's off. And they paid, and it does not matter what they've paid. I've seen people cut up over a $50 payment more than people who have paid $5,000 for something and the delivery was off. I haven't. Traditionally, you'll see people get nastier over lower priced products because lower qualification, lower barrier of entry, things of that nature. But no, this did not go well. Marketing and sales, let's have a party, do a backflip. Engineering and everybody else required to create and deliver, sweating bullets. Right? This is a startup with multiple departments. You can't afford to do that. It's all you or your lean team. You can't afford to take that hit. You can't afford to have 5 to 10 negative reviews out there. It will take you out. And it has nothing to do with the great product, but a great product has to be matched with great delivery. Right? So that was one experience, and I couldn't pinpoint it, but it always stuck with me. I said, "Ooh, wow, you've got it." Especially if you're going to pre-sale. You know, it's like, look, if you're going to pre-sale, you need to make sure that you over-deliver. Right? Like, that's the key to pre-selling, is to over-deliver both on product and timeline. So if you're pre-selling and you're telling people, hey, look, we're going to start giving access next week, and you can beat that by a day. Hey, look, we're giving you 24 hour early access. You understand what I'm saying? But again, that requires a focus on the experience and not just the sale and production of the product. Because if we're just creating the product and rushing to the market, market and sale, right? We just miss this entire back end experience that is what's required for longevity. And that's what brings me to my second experience was when I unintentionally pre-ordered a product that was in the, I forget the phase that you call it when it's on like Kickstarter and everything. It's like the pre-production phase, right? So they were crowdsourcing the development of this. And I had seen this product before. And the reason why I didn't buy it is because I don't, me personally, particular products, I don't want to crowdsource. I would rather wait, you know, even though I pay more, I'll rather wait and just get the finished product later, right? If it makes it to them. Some people love Kickstarter, Indiegogo and all of that. They get excited about it, right? And maybe I'll change my mind at some point, but right now, that's not my preference. So I had seen this product on one of these crowdfunding websites, but then I got a notification and it sent me to the website. So when I go to its website, I'm thinking, and there's no mention of Kickstarter or Indiegogo, I'm like, oh, they're in production. So when I see pre-order, I'm thinking, oh, wow, this thing, it must be selling really, really well. And it tells me that it's going to deliver it in the last quarter of the year. So I'm midway through the last quarter of the year. So it's like, well, look, I can have this in a month and a half max. I'm used to my Amazon 2-day shipping and even overnight sometimes, or one day or same day. But I can wait a month and a half, I guess. So I go in, place the order, and immediately I do my checks and balances, everybody. But right when I received the email notification in the next page, I'm realizing there is no mention of a proposed timetable. You know, like I saw Q4 of this year on the website, but I saw no mention of it anywhere else. And I said, well, Chris, calm down. Let's give it some time. So after a day or two and I've received no email communication, I email and say, hey, what's going on? Long story short, I don't want to belabor this story. But long story short, there was just nothing I could get that was concrete. The CEO was respectful, fast with his response, right? Very thorough. I mean, he was writing me paragraphs of explanations, which I appreciated, giving me insight on the fulfillment process and everything else. But I could never get anything concrete. I'm telling him there's an expectation made at point of exchange that I would get this Q4. Is that still true? And at the end of the day, where we're at, what what the communication was is, I went back to the website and saw that it's no longer Q4. Now it's out in the Q1 and Q2 of the next year. And I'm like, hold on. Now we've got a false finish line, right? Like this, the goalpost is moving. So I feel uneasy about this. So I reach out again. And then that's when he tells me, oh, based on your order, you'll be in Q2 of the next year. Now see what just happened. I pre-ordered under the premise of I would get it in the same quarter that I was ordering it in. Anytime within that quarter is fine. So not only do you say, okay, sorry, we're not going to make this quarter, it'll be the next. If that was the case, you should not have put Q1 on your website. I mean, Q4 on your website, right? But not just Q1, Q2. This means it could practically be 6 months before I get the product. So we go and say, well, is it a lot of money? Guess what? The money, for me, the money doesn't even matter. In this particular situation, the money is important, but that's not the point. The point was this experience, this post-purchase experience left a bad taste in my mouth. And it became more about the principle than the money itself or even the product. Do I still want the product? Absolutely. It looks like an amazing product. Am I going to let them hold my money for 6 months because they did what I believe is just front end marketing and sales, and they're not paying any attention, as much attention as they need to on the fulfillment? I can't trust a business like that. And I get it. The CEO is going to have time to adjust and change and modify. You know, I don't know how much they raise, but that money's going to go faster than he realizes. And with this approach where you're just selling, we'll figure out the fulfillment. You better not. You all listening, you can't afford to figure out the fulfillment. Figure it out now. Shore it up now. That's going to increase the capacity. You can always turn on the faucet. I'm telling you, there's enough savvy advertising professionals out there. I'm training a community of automation service providers. So it's people out there that will be able to build the system. That's just going to be a matter of identification and putting in place. But when that faucet turns on, you better be able to fulfill. And it's getting so frustrating to see so many people so focused on marketing and sales. That's it. I know that's the sexy part. And we talked about the unsexy part of business in a previous podcast. We've talked about that. And this is part of it, focusing on the delivery. And let me say this, while I've built my name and brand on marketing and sales automation, like I am the marketing automation guy, I understand there's more to grow a business than just that. I'm not so tunnel visioned, singularly focused, ignorantly aware or unaware, I should say. If I could go back, let me say this in closing. If I could go back, I wouldn't change much in terms of my focus and approach. I've always invested in leadership and mentorship. You know, before anything, I'll pay for leadership and mentorship before buying software. And I've never been opposed to paying for software to perform for me. I've always waited to produce results repeatedly before I promoted those results. And I've always been a process driven, systems oriented thinker. Okay. So those are things that have served me well. But if I could go back and change one thing, it would have to have been to not take in how the market was handling the post-purchase experience, not to ignore the lack of attention paid to that, and give myself more freedom to define it and focus on it as much as I did marketing and sales. I've done so now. So I'm the balance is returned, but I'm just thinking too often was my focus on marketing and sales and not fulfillment. I've always built out fulfillment systems. Don't get me wrong. So I know how to do it. I just never focused on it and never really paid attention to individually point out its value and its power. Okay. And again, you get short-sighted when it's just marketing the sales to bank account increase. You get short-sighted because longevity is not just creating customers. It's creating satisfied customers who automatically become evangelists and repeat buyers. That's the only way to stay in business. You will burn yourself out and burn through all of your profits if you have to keep prospecting new customers. So you have to focus on the delivery. Don't make the mistakes that I've mentioned from these last experiences. Don't be that person. And if you need somebody to help you focus on the operations and the fulfillment side, that's money well spent. Increase your capacity before you increase your sales, or use that sales, that increase in sales, take that money and get you somebody that can help with your delivery system. Increase your back end capacity. Okay. Again, you small businesses, we just can't afford to make these mistakes, because one bad experience can be the breaker of our business. It's not fair, but it's just how it is. So who needs to hear this? Who is that person that has a great product? Who's that company that has a great product or service? And you just cringe every time it's confusing on the fulfillment side, and you don't know, hey, did you send this document? Was I supposed to look at this one? Hey, when is it shipping again? Right? Listen to me. Please, this is not for my own selfish ambition, please share this with them. And then you guys have a conversation collectively about this. The fulfillment, you know what? I had another company, that a service-based company that I was working with, and I was sending referrals to this company. And every time we would send a referral to the people that we sent, the people that we referred were having a terrible experience, thus shining a light on us like, oh, wait a minute, maybe they're starting to look at us like we don't know what we're talking about. And it was that. It was the fulfillment piece. So you could people, if you have a good product or service, people are going to start talking about it. They'll start referring you word of mouth. I got no compensation for referring, but since we had a good experience, we thought it would be duplicated, right? And it wasn't. It wasn't. So here you go. You've got your lead gen from somebody else. We're pushing you leads. Money is being made. You're definitely taking the money, but you're not fulfilling. You're not fulfilling and exceeding expectations. You, shame on you. Shame on you. So that business that you know that's doing it, that friend that's late to their own appointments, that business that you know that if you don't send an email saying, hey, has this shipped? They don't ship their products consistently on time. Right? And everywhere in between, login credentials not being sent, misspellings in emails. Hey, where is this? How do I get access to that? Always questions. People are always confused when they get started. Send this episode to them. Okay. And if you found value in today's episode, don't just share it with them, but make sure you're subscribed and leave a 5-star rating and review. This is the time for all my new listeners that I need you to subscribe to the podcast. It's like this every week, I promise you. Okay. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers. That is, people who specialize in extracting your process, coupling it with the right technology, and deploying automated systems in your business for rapid growth. Okay? We're starting our workshop. We will be running our workshop at the end of this year. So registration is now open. In fact, by the time you hear this, registration will be open. And I would like to invite you to join this free workshop. It's going to be three trainings in 2 weeks, and it is going to be hands on, everybody. Hands on. Me, myself in there live doing teachings, Q&As. We're going to have challenges, all of that. For what? To get you on the fast path to mastery of marketing automation. Okay. So if you want to register at no charge right now, you can go to automationbridge.com/workshop. Again, you'll be able to register at no cost. We're also giving a nice little bonus away. There is a new offer, a new lead magnet offer on that registration page. I will not tell you what it is. Okay. You have to go see it for yourself. But I can guarantee you this. If you're interested in the workshop, you're going to love that free offer, that free bonus that we have for you. Again, registration is absolutely free, and we'll be running this workshop starting soon. I believe it's next week will be the first training. So if you want to get a jump on the new year, don't wait for New Year's to say, hey, I'm changing this, I'm changing that. Nope. Join this workshop. Get started now. Get started now. Okay. All of the show notes and podcasts are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and listen to all the other episodes at your leisure. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.